You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International. In collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The manhunt is still underway in Germany for a Tunisian man suspected to have carried out Monday's truck attack at a Christmas market in Berlin, Germany. The profile of the suspect represents a political problem for the German government and invites criticism of Chancellor Angela Merkel's immigration policies. Constanze Stelzenmüller is a senior fellow with the Center on the United States and Europe at the Brookings Institution. Constanze, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
Do you think this attack is a turning point in modern German history in the sense that we've been moving forward uninterrupted on this embrace of migrants and sort of the open Germany policy, and this is all of a sudden a possible setback?
You know, I think that's wildly overburdening the interpretation of this event. It's certainly a milestone in that it was the first major terrorist attack in modern German history, but honestly, both the authorities in Germany and the German public knew that at some point this was going to happen. In an open society with many, many soft targets that you can't defend without making them completely, you know, closing them off and closing off society, this, I think many people had a feeling of inevitability.
So there's enough political preparation for this event to stay the course and to keep moving forward, even regardless of the criticism of Angela Merkel particularly.
Look, I mean, it's obvious that all of Merkel's enemies within her own party, within the Bavarian sister party, CSU, those being her rivals, are her political real enemies, and they're in right-wing and left-wing populist parties, that they're trying to blame this on her one particularly egregious tweet called the deaths of these people killed by the truck on Monday. The Merkel's dead. I mean, that's scandalous, but it's also wrong. It's I think most Germans felt that surprised and concerned that the German state, the German institution, seemed so overwhelmed by the migrant influx. But the reality is that this influx has trickled down to manageable numbers. The ones that have arrived have been distributed, and there's an ongoing, if slow and somewhat chaotic, process of returning people, or to not use a euphemism, deporting them if they haven't gotten asylum status. One of the problems with the Tunisian guy, who's now the main suspect in this attack, is that he had no papers and that the Tunisian authorities in his home state had been slow in supplying them, and thus was slowing down the deportation process.
What do you think about the public appreciation or criticism of the investigation that's gone on? Is this a collision of security policy and a sense of wanting not to be living in a state where there's surveillance constantly? Is there a discussion of changing the rules?
You know, again, I honestly think it's important to not overinterpret this. I am living in D.C., but I am often in Berlin. I have many, many friends there. I lived there for 10 years before I moved here. And from what I see of my friends and acquaintances' postings on Facebook and elsewhere, the mood is pretty calm and not all that critical. Now, again, I mean, I can understand why people are trying to politically exploit this, but the reality is that the authorities have been moving carefully and calmly, and I don't at this point see any sort of disastrous mishaps. Yes, it's true that Germans dislike surveillance cameras. Half of the country, or let's say 4/10 of the country, the former East Germany, you know, until 1989, lived in a state of constant surveillance. You can understand why that's not culturally particularly popular. I think that that might change. I think we might have a, you know, reinforcement of police and domestic intelligence, but that was well underway, and it's been well underway, frankly, since the attacks of 9/11 and the kind of international collaboration that was created at the time.
So the suspicion would be that Angela Merkel will run for re-election next year. Is that still up in the air?
She's already said she would several weeks ago. I have mixed feelings about this. I have great admiration for her. I think she's been a very strong and good chancellor. But fourth terms, Americans don't like dynasties, whether they're called Bush or Clintons. And in Germany, fourth term attempts have usually not ended well. Germans are as keen to preserve democracy and political change as other Western democracies.
Would you say that a change in the leadership in Berlin would change Germany's role as leader in this Europe project that is so in turmoil since Brexit?
That's really hard to say. She's one of the European Union's staunchest defenders. And perhaps for American listeners, the reason why we feel so strongly about this is that most of us have parents or grandparents who have memories of the war, who have, you know, made an effort for reconciliation with a people tormented, killed, massacred by our Nazi ancestors. And we have borders with nine other countries in Europe. For us, it's unimaginable to live in a Europe where all the borders are pulled up again and where people don't talk to each other. This is about peace, prosperity, stability, and yes, democratic transformation, including in my own country. And so I have a hard time thinking that somebody who replaced Merkel, whether at the elections in 2017 or at any other point, you know, would feel any differently about this project unless that person was a populist. And for this point, at this point, I don't see Germans electing a populist as the next chancellor. I'm happy to say that I think we can safely exclude that.
Constanze Stelzenmüller is the Robert Bosch Senior Fellow with the Center on the United States and Europe at the Brookings Institution. Well, it'll be very interesting to see what wild cards are in the deck in the German elections as that transpires over the next several months. Constanze, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.